Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost. Sunday was in the octave of the Sacred Heart. And also today at Mass, we have commemoration of St. Basil the Great, the fathers of the Church. After Mass today, two things. First, I will be available for confessions, but there will be a little delay on that. We have the potluck, so see the people brought things. It's wonderful. We'll try to sit up where it's a little more shaded, and we have a fan or two. It's kind of warm outside. And then, if you haven't done so already, I'd ask you to take one of those sheets that are in the literature folder with regard to the preparation for improving on our church building or location. So it could go many different ways. These are to take the little steps to look it over and get started on something. I can assure you that the efforts will have a spiritual benefit for yourselves and for others. And no matter which way it works out in the end, look for God's direction on it. There will also likely be a temporal benefit. We'll learn something, you'll help with something, some good will come of it. So it's a matter of start small with a good heart. And then the next Mass will be in 2 weeks. I will be here on Friday and Saturday, Mass Friday, 8 a.m. on Saturday. I encourage you to make a special effort to come to those Masses and take advantage of that, especially when you don't have Mass every Sunday. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Peter the Apostle. Dearly beloved, be you humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. For he resists thee, strong in the faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. For the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. At that time, the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus and hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, what man of you hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And coming home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. For one woman having 10 broke coins, if she shall lose one broke coin, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. And when she had found it, called together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found the broke coin which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. But the words of the Holy Gospel bear sin to God. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today, after Mass, we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and part of the benediction for this Sunday will be the act of reparation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and also the litany of the Sacred Heart. So that's for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, in our case, the Sunday right after. And with the litany of the Sacred Heart, the veracical response at the end O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. So, this is, of course, is a variation of the Lord's words. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. It is profitable for us, though, to consider what is meant by meekness and humility. And so we start with meekness. What does that mean? Now, you've heard it in the past, that the word meekness and the virtue of meekness is very often misunderstood. Maybe it even just misused to mean that someone who's weak, doesn't stand up for himself, is just like a wet noodle. That's not the case. Right? Someone might be like a wet noodle, but that doesn't mean that person is meek. Meekness is rather a strength, an inner strength, to control and properly direct what's called the passion of anger. God has put in us a certain drive to take care of things that are dangerous to ourselves, to our neighbors, to our soul, whatever. It's that impulse to go take care of this. Now, so it has a good when we see something falling on us, we jump out of the way. We see someone's hurt, we move quickly to help that person. When there's an evil, we intervene to stop it. So all of those things are of themselves good. The problem as a result of original sin, though, is that this gets out of control. And the evil that we would seek to remedy is not so much harm to our body or our soul or our neighbor. It is the harm to our pride, to our ego. So something offends me and I'm on fire to go after whoever or whatever is causing it. And instead of the reason directing things, I just let go. So the meekness means that we don't control anger, and anger is like a fire. It gets out of control, and the next thing it causes many other evils. So meekness is that virtue that's the strength of our soul by which we rein in anger and then direct it according to what's called right reason, which is God's law, and using the intelligence that God has given to us. So it's one thing to define it. It's quite another thing to practice it. This is what our Lord says, learn from me, who is meek and humble of heart. Now, our Lord had the passion and the good part of anger. He didn't have the disorder that we have as a result of original sin. Nevertheless, our Lord gives us this wonderful example, and particularly in his passion, he gained for us the grace in order to overcome our own disorders. And so, what do we see? We see, certainly during our Lord's public ministry, this time and time again, we even have in today's gospel, the Pharisees were murmuring. And there were times that the apostles were squabbling with one another. And then if times that they didn't seem to understand. And then you had the mother of James and John coming, trying to get a special place for her sons. But our Lord doesn't just go after them. He doesn't get some kind of an outburst. He rather either ignores what they said because it's a distraction, or he gently and properly corrects it. We see this as well during our Lord's passion, when they were insulting him and accusing him of everything and slapping him and so on, that he just remained silent. But then when it was necessary, he spoke with them, and they were asking him impertinent questions. He called them to account and says, if I have spoken, bring forth the witnesses. If I have not spoken, why do you slap me? So he did not lose control, perfectly under control. And in so doing, then, the Lord gives us an example, but more for our benefit, he gave for us the graces that we need. Now, We, of course, have the consequence of original sin, these wounds to our soul. We have the consequence of our own actual sins, and on top of that, the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So how do we foster meekness? One of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. First of all, is to pray for it. Listen, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking shall be opened unto you. So, particularly during the litany of the Sacred Heart today, before our Divine Lord in the Sacred Host, we need to pray, to beg with all of our hearts for this grace, this virtue of meekness, this strength to overcome the unruliness of our fallen nature. Pray for it. It's not just a matter of somehow one secret trick or another, but it's rather to pray for God's grace and humbly realize our own weakness. Then there are a number of things that we can and should do that are recommended in Sacred Scripture. We have St. James says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to anger. Sometimes the world says, whatever, put your mind in gear before you open your mouth. There's some similar, just secular way of putting it. And so, how do they do that? Well, the only time we have to try to do that is when anger is stirring within us. We're probably going to lose out. We make a point of holding our tongue in little things day by day, in the humility of our own weakness, and asking God's grace. And as we practice the little virtues, we'll be stronger in the time of temptation. The next is to consider how we are. Some people tend to be, like I would say, firecrackers. Something disturbs them, and it's an outburst right away. And they'll tend to get talking, of course, to say things that offend God, offend the neighbor, and that they later should, and often do regret. The other type is more like what we call the steam boiler, that whatever it is, it shakes up one's either through shyness or whatever, or just a temperament, does not tend to speak out and blow up right away, but it kind of rumbles and nurtures it, and it probably is tempted some kind of revenge over the period of time. So the problem is not the right this minute, it's an hour, a day, whatever it is later. Some get, they get angry quickly and they get over it, others get angry and they stay angry for a long time. So we look at ourselves and probably salmon, one end or the other, or maybe somewhere in between. So what do we have to do there? Well, first of all, humbly admit what we are, and then, of course, pray for the help we need. And when we tend to have this building up of emotional or sinful steam within us, certainly to say a prayer, it's a little time to do that. But also then to exercise ourselves to make an effort to put ourselves out to do some act of kindness for another. As the charity covereth a multitude of sins. Instead of concentrating on ourselves, we concentrate on some need of our neighbor or something for the honor and glory of God. Keep going and get something done. And so that we make use of the time and the opportunity God has given us. The feelings are not necessarily going to go away. We can't just turn our feelings on and off. Even our Savior will to bear the burden of his feelings in the Garden of Gethsemane. The agony, that's what the agony was to a great extent. Our Lord, as a true man, the Sacred Heart is the emblem of our Lord's sacred humanity. He truly bore those things. He's like us in all things but sin. The feelings can come and go, but do we let the feelings rule us, which is the way of the world, the flesh and the devil, or by the grace of God do we rule our feelings, and that is the way of gaining eternal salvation. St. Peter says, be humbled under the mighty hand of God. The other part of that invocation, though, is Jesus, meek and humble of heart. So how do any of these passions or disorders get going? Well, the pride is the root of all these evils. So why might we offend against charity and fail to have meekness? Well, we look at pride and the different manifestations of pride. It could be the bossy type of pride. I want things done my way right now. If you're not doing that, I'm going to unload on you. So that's bossy pride. Another type is, we might call it the brooding pride, where I'm not getting my way, somehow or other things are not going as I would have them go. I'm going to be allow myself to stew with this and look down upon everyone else. I think we look at today's passage of the gospel. What was it the scribes and Pharisees were doing? They're saying, look at this Jesus, he eats with sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees, who had more than a few moral issues of their own, were looking down on the sinners with sort of a more obvious sinners. So then the Lord turns it around and gives them the parable of the joy in heaven at the conversion of sinners. And so we need to look at ourselves and say, is there some scribe and Pharisee in me, or how much scribe and Pharisee in me, that when things don't go my way, or I see what looks like a fault in someone else, I stew on them? So it's a lack of humility, and it's also a failure against meekness, because that's where the meekness has to be. Don't deliberately think about it and get going and do something spiritually or even materially productive for the needs of your neighbor. And then there can be other manifestations, but that's usually the humility that we need to do accomplish, is either to overcome the tendency to either be bossy or boasting, or to brood on real or perceived offenses or whatever that might be. So these are things that we face every day, that they are present not just in the world. If one reads the autobiography of St. Teresa of Lisieux, the story of a soul, she recounts the little difficulties between the sisters, even if they were washing their handkerchiefs, and one sister maybe inadvertently was putting some water in Sister Teresa's face, and it just annoyed her beyond measure. And so can be in the convent. We take it with us. The virtue of meekness, then, which we beg and strive to practice, helps us to overcome this baggage of original sin, and then to harness the strength of our intellect and our will with the love and the service of God and the love of our neighbor. And again, we go back to the need to pray for the help, recognize our own weakness, and then work on it day by day. It is something that certainly should be part of our examination of conscience. How have I offended with regard to the anger, either external or internal? And have I made the efforts to practice meekness and humility in my life? This is how we draw close to the Lord and how we prepare ourselves for heavenly happiness. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.